Welcome to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Akofo, Head Pastor of Grace Hope Chapel. Do you need direction in life? Are you yearning for a closer walk with God? Are you desiring to be fruitful? The Word of God provides the answers. Feast on God's Word and let the grace of God envelop you as you listen to this life-changing message. Be blessed. Reaching out to the world with love, treating Christians for excellence.
Samuel chapter number 16. First Samuel 16, let's read from verse number 14 to 22, I believe. Hallelujah. If you are there, say yes, Lord. If you are not there, say mercy. Let's read. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp well. He'll play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his servants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine looking gentleman, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul, everybody, let's read this one. Let's start with David. David came to Saul. I can't hear you. And entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his sword bearers. 22, let's read together. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Amen. We have been talking about smart changes, making smart changes in our lives for some time now. We have talked about the fact that it's not enough to have smart goals, but more importantly, it is crucial to make smart changes in your life. Now, every one of us, when the year starts like this, we have goals, targets, but God is saying, go beyond having goals and make significant changes in your life. Otherwise, the goals will filter out by March, April. You will find that, somebody said to me just last week, that I have noticed that resolutions don't work for me. All right? So it's easy to make resolutions on 31st January, December, or first Sunday in January, and say, "I have these goals." But you realize that time and time again, these goals filter through and they don't work. And so God is saying this year, we need to move a step ahead and make what? Smart what? Changes. Amen? And we are saying that we are believing God that before this year ends, there will be significant changes in your life. Remarkable changes in your life. You can point at 1, 2, 3 things and say, "These things have changed in my life." Listen, this whole thing about church is transformation. Hallelujah. I said church is about what? Transformation. The path of the righteous is like a little gleam of light that shines brighter and brighter unto what? A perfect day. So if you are coming to church, then you are expecting changes in your life. Lift your hand and say, "Church is about change." Come on, lift it high. Say, "Church is about change." and say, I am changing for the better. Say, day by day, I am becoming a better person because I go to church. Otherwise, church becomes a social club, a place of sheer entertainment. But I believe that you and me are here to become better, to be transformed in our lives. So smart changes is all about trusting God for transformation in our life. And we said the first change you need to make is what kind of change? Spiritual change. We are doing the acronym SMART. Spiritual change. What is the second change? Mindset change. You change the spirit man, your heart. Then you change your mind, secondly. Then thirdly, you change your what? Attitude. Say attitude. Tell your neighbor, attitude is everything. And I started talking about attitudinal changes from last 2 weeks. And I want to expatiate it a little bit more. Because in this life, let me tell you, your spirituality will take you to heaven. But to succeed in this life, one of the crucial success factors is the attitude you bring to life and to your relationships. Attitude is everything. Somebody has said it's not just your aptitude, but it is your attitude that determines your what? Altitude. How far you go in life is as a result of your attitude. And once your mind changes, it must follow with some attitudinal changes. Hallelujah. I see your attitude changing for the better. I see you being recommended in high places because of your attitude. Listen to me. If somebody wants to take you on board, he doesn't take you on board because of the number of tongues you speak per hour. Hello? It doesn't matter how many tongues you speak per hour. If somebody wants to recruit you, employ you, one of the critical things he looks at is your attitude. Please, thank God for prayer. Thank God for speaking in tongues. Thank God for paying your tithes. But your attitude is key to catapulting you into greatness. Say my attitude. Say my attitude. And we said last 2 weeks that when it comes to attitude, the standard is Christ. Christ is our standard for a great and a perfect attitude. Let your attitude be like Christ. Let the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus be in you, who was just like God. He did not make equality with God as something to be grasped, but he made himself of no repute and became a form of a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And because of that, the Lord has what? Exalted him. Say exalted him. Say exalted him. And so when we come to becoming smart changes, one of the effective changes you need to make in your life is about your attitude. And Jesus is the standard. And Jesus' attitude, one of the remarkable things about Jesus was his humility. Say humility. And because of his humility, the Bible says that he was exalted. I see you being exalted. Your attitude will determine your what? Altitude. Jesus' attitude of humility. And listen, the more I walk with God, the more I notice that this attitude of humility is so crucial. You can't afford to be proud in life, my friend. It is a dangerous thing. This week I was so humble when I was watching a very popular man who used to be like six-pack, macho man, very vibrant. I called my wife. I said, come and look at this man. Look at the muscles and the biceps. Look at how attractive he looked. Tasty Tony. Every lady will like this man. And a few years to his death, the man deteriorated and became slender, something very thin. I'm talking about a very influential person on earth with a very popular name, very influential, very popular, known everywhere just at the mention of his name. And yet in his latter days, the guy has shrunk and almost become very lanky. And I was telling myself, look, in life, it's not about how you start. It's about your ending. And so your attitude in life is so important. Listen, the people you meet on your way up are the same people you meet on your way down. You better be careful how you conduct yourself, especially in the days of your glory. I was so humbled, tears were in my eyes. I called my wife. I said, come have a look, compare. Compare. When things are all right for you, you can tend to flex and think that you are above everybody. But the Bible says, let your attitude be like Christ Jesus. He had the audacity to say, I am God. I am equal with God. And yet he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. You have a reputation, Mr. Big Man, Miss Big Woman. Nobody can talk about your issue. So Jesus is the standard, my friend. And our attitude should just be, we should look unto Jesus and act like him. Let's forget about titles, reputation, who is who in the kingdom. Do you know me? Who are you? Hello. He is the standard. Hallelujah. Now that standard oftentimes looks very high for us. This month, this evening, I want to come down a little bit and come to talk about a man who is just like us with a lot of weaknesses and look at his attitude and why this guy, I love him, and the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. I can't stop talking about this guy. There's something about him. I mean, if God says this is a man after my own heart, there is something about him. Last Sunday, I spoke about him. Today, I want to speak about him again from another dimension. So if Jesus' standard of attitude and behavioral pattern is too high for you, let's look at David. David. And look at what catapulted this guy from the backside of life into the palace. What brought him from being forgotten about family and friends, and what catapulted him and brought him straight into the palace, and what sustained him in the palace. Because like I said, your aptitude can take you to a certain level, but your attitude will sustain you there. Otherwise, skill and ability can make you rise very fast. But if you have a bad attitude, you can be sure you'll come down quickly. Yet somehow, some of the men in the Bible, like Daniel, Joseph, especially Daniel and David, seem to have been sustained at the top because of the way they carry themselves, their approach and their attitude that they brought to life. I've seen that you can have very fine Christians, tongue-talking, holy, heaven-bound, but with very bad attitude. And so in life, we become almost irrelevant. The world have no use of us. Workplace. Look, I said it last week, so I want to repeat it. When they are looking for somebody to sack in a workplace, oftentimes, the people with bad attitudes go first. They go first. It doesn't matter your skill. They will sack you first. The last people to go are people who are great to be with. And oftentimes, when they even go, they are rehired faster because their attitude always makes a way for them. So here we are with this very interesting story of David, who is at the backside of life, thinking about himself. I can imagine when he was at the backside of life, he wasn't complaining. Only with birds. His brothers were well placed in the army. One would have thought that he would be bitter and say, why me? Why am I here? Why? Why have they made all my brothers be in the military and me alone? Because I'm a stepdaughter. You see, in life, you can have a bad attitude, a negative attitude, based upon your circumstance and your outlook of life. It depends on your perception. But I can imagine David at the backside of life with his guitar playing and singing with the birds. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord. You are God. Singing, worshiping the Lord with lizards and birds and all that. See, I'm not moved. I thank God I have some job to do. He has a few sheep. In fact, the sheep was not large. Bible says he was taking care of a few sheep. Yes, he wasn't bothered. Now, many of us, when we have a little job, our attitude towards that job is so bad that nobody will even employ us or recommend us in higher places. Now, here was a king being tormented. And he needed somebody who can play well. Can you imagine if David had had a bad attitude of not playing at the backside of life, but now he would have been rusty? Nobody would recommend him. Go find me a man who plays well. Let him come. So in actual fact, they were looking for aptitude. But hey, aptitude alone will not take you to the palace. You can be skillful, but if you have a bad attitude, no great king will want you to come closer. So the king just requires, bring me a man who plays well to what? To relieve me when these demons torment me. And then the Bible says in verse 18, where I'm going to stay the rest of the period, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. Number one. Now, one would have thought that that ends there, but the Bible says that he's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well. He's a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. Next verse. That's where I'm going to stay, 18, but let me give you some introduction, then I'll get to my member. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. Watch this. So Jesse took a donkey loaded with a breast, skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. 21. David came to Saul and entered his service. Watch this. He entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Watch this. Now, oftentimes, when people are distant from you, they look very likable and nice. How many know what I'm talking about? When you haven't lived in the same home with me, you think I'm a very nice pastor. Hello? When we come to church and you step on my toes, I say, hi, don't worry. Oh, that's okay. You can even step on another one. So everybody's attitude is at best in public at places. But what is shocking about this man is that after he came in and entered into Saul's service, when he got closer, Saul liked him the more. Wow. Saul liked him the more. He said, wow, I think I like what I'm seeing. But most people, that's why when people get shocked when they get married. Because me, I've never seen any of our ladies get angry in this church before. They are all sweet. Sweet, calm, ladylike. Oh, because you are far. That's all. But when you come closer, when he entered himself, the guy said, I like this guy very much. When you come close, may you be liked some more. I am telling you, one of the greatest attitudes you need in life is being a likable person. When you are a likable person, it opens doors automatically for you wherever you find yourself. And I'm praying to God that as I teach this series, an anointing will come upon you, which is called divine likability. May you be liked wherever you go. Amen. He said, I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm seeing. And he sent his answer, let him stay here. I've seen the way he behaves and I like him. When people come closer to you, you see how poisonous people are. But this guy, the more he came closer, and David had this thing about him that made people like him. He had it. Not only they saw like him. Go to chapter 18, verse 1. Look, go to chapter 18, verse 1, quickly. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Wow. I can imagine Saul calls David to the palace. He's sitting on the throne, and they are conversing, and Jonathan is at the side, and he's just listening to the conversation between his father and this shepherd boy from the bush. Bushman has come to the palace. And yet, when Jonathan listened to the conversation, this is my boy. This will be my friend. I like this guy like myself. Receive this grace upon your life. Yeah. He liked him so much at the point his father even got there and said, are you a fool? Don't you know that this guy can take your throne? And yet many people, the moment they come close, the moment you talk to them, beautiful sister, Onokasa 1-2, you are thinking about something, but you change your mind immediately. When you saw her shape, you really liked her until you began talking with her. And suddenly you have to rearrange your plans. But when they talk to him, the courtesy, the words, the humility, say, wow, this guy will be my friend from the bush. Hey, am I preaching? Look at verse 15, KJV. Let's look at verse 15, KJV. I'm trying to show you why it's important to be a likable person. It's a great thing to be a likable person. Yeah. Chapter 18, verse 15. I'm now chapter 18. I'll come back, don't worry. I'll come back to see. I'm now 18. Quickly. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he was afraid of him. Next verse. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. The guy was not at a distance, so he was moving. When you see him acting the way he carries himself in the palace, he goes to war and come back, the way he handles himself, the whole Israel. So now it starts with the king. He moves from the king to the king's son. Now the whole Israel are beginning to love him. May you have this great attitude. And not because he was from a distance, but the closer they walk with him, the closer. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, attitude is everything. Come on, say to the person, attitude is everything. Everything, church, everything is attitude. I could go on and look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Wow. Gentlemen, I see an attitude. You are carrying yourself such a way that some women will love you. Some men are receiving. Hey, what year are you? Third year. You are a very bad boy. Sit down. Finish your course. Before you want girls to love you. Afra born. What a shock. But a great attitude will let them like you. So you can see that from every sphere, they liked him. The way you carry yourself will let people change their mind. You've got to, covet the ability to handle yourself so that you'll be likable. It is key for this life. It's so key. But most folks, no matter how spiritual, you get close to them and it's like, something is wrong. Something is wrong. You can't see the glory of God. You can't see the character of Jesus. You can't see humility and simplicity. You can't see it. Our lives are so complex, so difficult to communicate with you. You have suddenly been like a god.
You can't converse for 1 hour. There must be a fight. And why did you say that? And what did you mean? Can you explain what you meant by this? It's difficult to relate with you. Even friend, you can't sustain friendship for 1 year. Because the attitude somewhere is every time you're changing friends, you're changing friends.
Receive the ability to be liked in life. Very key to life. Key to life. Even God himself, I love this guy. He must carry something. The king loves him. The people of Israel loved him. The moment saw that they now came and said, we want you as our king. I see them calling your name at high places because of attitude. Attitude, that's all. Now, don't joke. Don't think that he was handsome. No, Absalom was more handsome. No. It's attitude. When they said, bring a person who plays well, they went further to describe some great attitudes. And that's what I want to talk about. They went further. He doesn't just play well, but he has some traits. What are the traits? 5 traits there. I'm going to rush through it quickly before we go. Number one, confident. Confident. He's a confident. He's a bold guy. Brave. Confident. Confidence is key, my friend. Confidence. You cannot be a child of God and walk with this our God and be timid, shy, in some way. No. When they saw the courage of Peter and who? And John, they took note, Acts 4:13, that these guys had been with Jesus, though they hadn't gone to school. By virtue of the association with Jesus, they carried themselves with confidence. I see you becoming a confident Christian. The righteous is as bold as a lion. When somebody's talking to you, look at him in the face and respond. You represent heaven. Am I speaking to somebody? You are an ambassador from above. So you are not timid, shy, panicky. No. This guy was so confident. When he got to the battleground, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? Brave. Confidence. I will face him. I will face him. He's not afraid at all. You need confidence. Listen, speak to yourself often and develop healthy self-esteem. Develop it. It's so important because you represent heaven. You're an ambassador of God. Don't look down upon yourself. Don't let your past limit who you are. You've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you, even when you go to the embassy, sometimes your body language alone can let them disqualify you because you don't look confident. Confidence has to do with your body language, your facial expression, and even the tone of your language. The tone of your language. You've got to develop all this to have self-esteem. Jesus was so confident. I am. Listen to the number of times he said, I am. Say, he who speaks to you, I am he. If you knew the gift of God and the one who asked you for water. He didn't talk like a timid person at all. When he stood before Pilate, he said, if I have not been giving it to you from heaven, I could have sent my angels, legions, to come and speak for me and fight for me. Such a confident man. I was so proud of Dr. John when I watched him on TV. Let me give you fans more. Get up, please. Yeah. I was so proud of him when he sat before the president of Germany, Angela Merkel, and he was so composed, so relaxed, was just answering the I said, that's my boy. Yeah. With the accent. Just flowing. And when he gave an example about one atta, is it? One guy. One atta. I remember it very. I said, wow. You could see, say, for instance, a tie in my country. I said, wow. He was so sure. And when they interviewed him at Deutsche Welle TV, ice. The woman was throwing the questions. He was answering back. Yeah. I said, he comes from Grace Fields. I said, he comes from Grace Fields. You can't be here and be timid, but he's stiff. What's that? What's that? Even proposal, you are stiff. Where did you read your quiet time today? Have you prayed? How many hours do you pray in a day? Huh? So when you pray, do you sweat? When I pray, I feel cold. God bless you, boy. God bless you. We are proud of you. Put your hands together for him. We are proud of you. Now, do not throw away your confidence. Hebrews 10:35. For it will be richly rewarded. Richly. It has great recompense. Don't throw it away. Do you know how I see you, a confident person? When I meet you and I say, how are you doing? How are you doing, brother? I say, small, small. How are you doing, Emmanuel? So, so. We can't complain. We can't complain what? It shows me you have lost your confidence. But when I talk to you, I say, how are you doing? I say, I'm so blessed. The grace is working. The hand of God is upon my life. It's getting better. Highly favored. I see confidence rising up in you. And everybody wants to associate with confident people. It's a bold man. Bold man. May you have this first trait in your life. Number two, he says he's a valiant warrior. I'm talking about resilience. He is resilient. The guy is a comeback kid. And never say die spirit until the bones are rotten. Yeah. We are rotten, but we are refusing to even die. Now we've got a white coach. We are bouncing back. You see, David was a bounce back kid. My soul, why art thou downcast? Hope thou in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Rise up, oh my soul. Be strong and march forward. Look, depression. Everybody can be depressed in life. Life is full of troubles if you give it a chance. But you must be resilient in life. You must have a fighting spirit. Jennifer, are you hearing me? Talk to yourself. Have a pep talk with yourself. I shall do well. I will bounce back. My enemy, do not gloat over me. Can I talk to you? For when I fall, I shall rise up. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. That's resilience. No room for negativity. Saul said, you cannot fight this guy. He's been a fighter. Look at this foolish answer. He's been a fighter from his youth. Now watch this. If Goliath has been a fighter from his youth, if somebody did not give him chance to fight from his youth, will he gain that experience? So me too, I'm a youth. I must have opportunity to start fighting. He said, don't worry. When I was at the backside of life, when the bear and the lion came after me, after my sheep, I cried. I put my hand and said, my end has come. I said, I'm worthless. I am finished. I'm finished, though. I'm finished. Sometimes you can sit in an exam room. Eh? When you see the first three questions, you can put your hand on your head. Say, Maria Yaba. But resilience will tell you, do something. Fight back. He said, when they came for one of my sheep, I went after it. I see somebody going after your purity. Going after your financial losses. Going back for that money. Going back for your integrity. Going back for your ministry. Fight back for it. You need a fighting spirit. I will show you when they said David will not even get here. David cannot get to it. The blind and the lame will resist him. David said, you are rather blind than lame. Many people will tell you, you can't make it in life. You can't enter. But the fighting spirit will say, no! I'm coming back for my oil. I'm going back for my dignity and my purity. Bounce back and rise up and be a shining star. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise up. Seize it by her and struck it and killed it. Life is not for cry babies. You want pity party? Some people, they just love to cry everything they are crying. Yeah. Cry small and wipe your face and say, I'm going to march forward. That's life for you. If he gives you a lemon, make lemonade out of it. Yeah. Make lemonade out of it. Am I speaking to somebody here? I don't have time. Resilience. Say resilience. Say relentlessness. Relentlessness. Asasia bang. Yenti jai. Asante kotoko. That's the last team. Ukuma pima. Apime, but they are trying. But we, even when we die, until the bones are rotten, we are still on top. Receive a resilient spirit. I say, receive a resilient spirit. Hey, as for arrows, everybody face arrows. This guy, David, do you know where he has been? Being at the point, he acted like a madman with spittoon coming out from his mouth like this. Coming out, and they say, the guy is mad. And yet he rose up to become the next king of Israel. Have you been mad before? Why are you crying? Rise up and fight on. This is not the end of your story. I see a new chapter being opened in your life. Your history is getting better by the Spirit of God because of a spirit of resilience. Receive this anointing upon your life. It's a great attitude. Hi. And I love this one. Number three, he speaks well. He speaks well. Tell your neighbor, language matters. Oh. Say, language matters. Don't sit on the phone and say, huh? What's he saying? Hey. Language matters. Language matters. You can get anybody to do anything for you if you know how to say please. Christian says, I don't know how to say please. Thank you. I'm sorry. Pardon me. Please forgive me. You don't have to say this. These simple words can break ice. It can turn, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Soft answer. By harsh, harsh words. Bible says, gracious words are like honey from the honeycomb. Gracious words. Language matters, my friend. He speaks well. Don't be a secretary whose lines are bad, whose L and R are bad. What has speaking well got to do with playing guitar? But it's important. You're going to play guitar in the palace. You've got to speak well. Polish your language. Be respectful. Remember, when Bible said when he spoke to Saul, Jonathan just loved him. Read the Psalms and see the quality of speech of David. When he sinned against God, you alone, you only have I sinned against. Cast me not away from your presence and take not thy Holy Spirit for, but restore unto me the joy of salvation so that I will teach transgressors the way of the Lord. The Lord says, you are my boy, I've forgiven you. If you know how to talk to God, even God wants raps. Can I show you that God wants raps? I'll show you in the Bible. But if you don't know how to, Bible says, Hosea said, carry words and come to me. Carry words. Carry words and come. So if you don't know how to speak to, why do you think that we start prayer with worship? Praise that he inhabits in the praise. Now when you go, you say, Papa God. Papa, if you don't do it, yeah. And they were maybe yabo. Say, clear up from there.
Because you don't know how to carry words. David knew how to carry words to God. The richness of half of Psalms written by David. So beautiful. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. He leads me. There is, if you're a poet, you will see poetry in it. It starts with I. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It comes with he. Then it comes with even though I. Then it comes with I. Then it goes to you. Then it comes to I again. Beautiful literary piece. Beautiful. Language, please. Check your words out. Check your words out. You can receive promotion by words and language. Simple. Now all of us must develop our vocabulary. Expand it. That's why you have to read books and expand your vocabulary. It helps you because one same word you can use can be insulting. You can use a synonymous and the person will be laughing. He speaks well. It's a high recommendation. Speech. David knew how to speak. I've got to close. Time is running out. Many Christian ladies, Christian men don't know how to speak. Tone. Rudeness. Rudeness. Be harsh. Listen. A smile and a hello is enough. Mutual respect. Language. People don't understand why people leave them all the time. You must make people around you feel important. So important with your, you must be deliberate about it. Let people around, people will work for you and die for you when they feel important. They feel, everybody wants to be around somebody who makes him feel significant. But if you want to walk on people, shout and scream and insult. Pull people down with words. One day you wake up and nobody's around you. May you be a great speaker. Hallelujah. Dressing matters. Dressing matters. People address you by your dress. Image is everything. Image. Please. You want to propose to somebody to marry the person. You're always wearing crumpled shirt. He said, look into my heart. Is it God? Look into my heart. I'm a good person. Please, go and marry God. It's God who looks at the heart. Man looks where? Outward. What is all this? Christian sister, the bia, why you also wear the 85? Why will I come to then? Suddenly you have turned yourself into old lady. I walk back up. Don't bring yourself. Turn yourself to 85. Every day your husband will come there, you put some cloth around you, and your hair is Samazan. That secretary in the office will take your husband away from you. With all your tongues and your fasting, you'll be surprised. You'll be very surprised. Why you're fasting now, when you say, gee, but the man is not looking at you. Change your dressing. Change it. And get some spiky hairs. Something. Hello. Fine looking man. Dress well. Listen. People make their first impression about you the first 4 seconds, I'm told. They meet you. And that impression they have about you informs every decision they make. After many years of working with you, the first impression still matters. Hello. Am I speaking to somebody here? The first 4 seconds of meeting you, they haven't even spoken to you. Once they start sizing you up, your shoe, your dress, they've made up that impression. This guy is reckless. This guy is not serious.
Especially when you're going for interview. When you're going to places of importance. The way you appear speaks volumes about you. Because people are generally visual. In nature, it's God that sees your heart. So modesty, cleanliness, dress, tucking your shirt. You'll be amazed at doors that can open for you because people just feel that you look great. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody? Some of us must change our attitude. You must try and put something, you must color. Even houses are painted. I say even houses are painted. Yeah. So what's wrong with a little painting to look attractive? Hey. Am I preaching? Pastor has backslide. You sit there. Hello. Just make sure you don't look like a caricature. Just make sure you don't look like a caricature. But you were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God. Glorify God. Fine looking man. Cut your head. Trim your beard. Your beard cannot overgrow. You know, all these things we think is not spiritual. But it's so important in life for recommendation to high places. Trim your beard. And don't leave an unkempt hair on, gentlemen. And watch this. The final one. And the grace of the Lord was with him. Aye, aye, aye. That's the bonus. Receive grace on top of fine looking. Receive grace on top of good speech. Great appearance. Resilience and confidence. Receive grace on top of it. And watch unimaginable doors open. Grace is the one that God gives. So when he adds it to it, you have divine likability. And I came to pray for you today that receive divine likability. I hear them calling your name and speaking about you in high places. That they want you. They want you. This afternoon, somebody sent us a beautiful message. Way from a foreign land. I said, what have we done to deserve such grace? God has a way of promoting men, but your attitude. If you go to a place and they invite you again, it shows that you have a great attitude. When you go to a place and they don't want to see your face again, something was wrong with your attitude. May God help you to be a likable person and be called to high places. God richly bless you.
For listening to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Ampofor, Head Pastor of Grace Hope Chapel. We believe you've been blessed. For this and more life-changing messages, please make a date with us every Monday to Friday from 11:40 a.m. to 12 noon on Spirit 88.3 FM. We invite you to worship with us at Grace Hope Chapel next to Osada House, Edum. Our first service is at 7 a.m. and our second service is at 9 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, please call us on 0264-203040 or 0322-191766 or email us at adumfie@gmail.com. We'll love to hear from you. It's your season of grace.